cliffcentral.com.
Yes, absolutely. And the MKT show has been going on. It's been doing its thing throughout, so that has not stopped. And well done, Bulelo and team, for keeping things together last week on this show. Thank you for stepping in there, just so that everybody, you know, they had something to look forward to. I did get an email, though, that's a little concerning, Bulelo. Maybe you can help me with this.
Sure. It's
from Caleb, who's a regular, and Caleb has he has some really important information there he wants to share. And I didn't listen to last week's show because I was, you know, I was still on holiday. But he's snitching, basically, on what happened on the show. So Caleb says, when you were away, the kids were busy on your show. And here's what he has to say. He says, first of all, Lebang was busy wasting money and fuel driving to Mpumalanga and the East Rand and buying stolen car tires in the metaverse.
What?
Is this true?
It is.
Is this true? What has she been doing?
Yeah, it is true.
Has she lost her mind?
Yeah, she went to the rural homelands, and then she obviously went to basically what is Mad Max on Earth, the East Rand. And the East Rand ate one of her run flat tires. So obviously she's got what? She's got a soccer team of a family. So she needed to save a bit of money. So she couldn't buy the 10,000 Rand tire, which is what it cost to replace her one. So she went to, I think, like Facebook or whatever, and she found a little something to keep her going, for $2,000. Huh. Tough times.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always wondered who it is that sells those really worn down tires. And now we know Lebang can do a deal for us there. You're really stuck. Oh my God.
Sure.
And then he goes on, Caleb, he hasn't stopped there. Says Simpiwe was thinking that she was Archbishop Desmond Tutu reincarnated, began telling people how to live their lives in their house on New Year's Eve. And she was rightfully kicked out. So I'm gonna get Simpiwe on this week to talk about this from her point of view, because I missed it, obviously. But that's also true, Mbulelo?
It is true. Simpiwe has been labeled the Beyonce of a bunch of bandits that... So people got kicked out, right, of somebody's house, is what I thought. But it turns out only Simpiwe got kicked out of a bunch of people.
Oh,
so we'll hear what happened there.
And that was what, right before New Year?
No, on New Year's Eve. She got...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she had a situation with the person whose house it was. And apparently Simpiwe told her business. And you know what?
Oh,
yeah.
That's clever.
Yeah, that's what I said. But I'd rather let her come on and speak for herself, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay, so we'll get her on and we'll find out. Then finally ends with you. Bulelo wants to find love and... SIM card, and Lebs turned the Thursday show into an episode of Manifestation with Pastor Bushiri. What the hell's Caleb on about here? I don't even know how to... That doesn't even make sense.
So there was a prayer, and you can go and find it on Cliff Central's social media, wherever you get your social media, right? Whatever platform, is where they did a prayer for me to find a romantic situation that works out in 2022, but I can't explain it. You need to see it yourself. It's the stuff of miracles, really, truly a miracle. The prayer they put on, and if you've been to a black church, you understand what Lebang was doing. She went full sermon. Wild.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, well, that sounds exciting. So I've definitely missed out here. Hallelujah.
Jeez, like, has it worked yet, Mbulelo?
Not yet. It's only the 10th, though. Who knows?
Let's see what happens.
I feel like whoever that person is, I need to maybe have high tea with them and just lay out, you know, the law of the land and just tell them what they're in for.
No, don't worry. I'd ask on the first date. Don't worry about it. I take care of things.
Bulelo will do whatever he needs to do to put them off himself. Yeah. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, the point of the first date is to make you not take the job.
Yeah.
Self-sabotage.
Yeah.
So those eight categories that Dr. Hanan was talking about, and by the way, I didn't give you the email address, but if you do have a personal issue you want to unpack with Dr. Hanan, I know we keep saying this, but it's sometimes, you know, that only once the student is ready, the teacher comes. That's what they say. But if you've been going through a lot, especially over the holidays, and you now finally have decided, you know what, I've had enough, I need to have a free consultation with Dr. Hanan, and I'm prepared to share it with everyone else on the show, we will be happy to facilitate that. Just send an email to contact@cliffcentral.com. We will obviously keep it all very much between us until you're ready to go on, if you are ready to go on. But if you want to unpack these things, you want the doctor's professional opinion, you might want to help other people by your example, contact@cliffcentral.com. Okay, it's a brand new year. We've just found out from Bulela we're not allowed to say Happy New Year anymore. After the second, he says, that's very...
What about
very...
people who haven't seen each other, going back to work?
Oh, no, just because I haven't seen you, it doesn't mean it's not the 10th of January. Like we're in now. Let's stop the nonsense.
You're a bit of a Nazi about this. I mean, it's like, surely you can still, for at least half of January, you're allowed to say Happy New Year. It also gives you something to say to some people. You know, you don't have a lot to say to some people. How was your holiday? Did you have a nice Christmas? I don't want to have that. I'd rather just say Happy New Year, and it kind of covers a lot of categories.
Nah. Otherwise, the problem is, if you let people get away with the small things, you'll never be able to get them back. Nah. Let's get into it now, guys. We can't be saying, it's the 10th. It's week two already. Nah, come on. Mm-mm. Let's be reasonable. I'm not many things. The one thing I am is reasonable. Come on now. Come on.
I don't know if you're so reasonable. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're very dogmatic.
But
I'm not going to start the year criticizing you.
Oh, you did the with all due respect thing. You criticized me and then you said, I'm not going to do it.
And someone says, I had a really great holiday, but you can just pretty much ignore everything before the but.
Yeah, you just did the whole thing. I'm not saying you're a dickhead, but, you know.
But you're a dickhead. So, okay, here it is. Leanne has gone through, she's done the exhaustive business. She sent us all a message yesterday and said, I'm doing this, you've got to do it too. We go through our Google search history for the last year, and we will see what comes up. If you type in, how did you do it? You just typed in the alphabet. So you went A and then you went B. And
yeah. So it wouldn't be from the past year. It's just from like the past few days.
Okay.
But it's a quite a good way of looking at what's going on in your head and the questions that you have in your head.
Okay.
And what we would have done without Google before. But these are the sorts of things that are in my head. The one thing I Googled was Marie Kondo fold pajamas. Because yes. I was cleaning up my cupboards and I needed to know how to fold my pajamas according to Marie Kondo.
She's terrific. I'm in love with that woman. And I wouldn't be surprised if Marie Kondo comes up in my search results either. Yeah. I love all those. I love these videos that you get these like 5 minutes. What would you call them? Almost like craft
tutorials.
Yeah, they're like little crafts. You could do stuff with resin, or you can do stuff with wood, or you know, with metal, or you can make something out of paper, or whatever it might be. And you know, Marie Kondo kind of comes into that in some way about having an organized household, and you know how I am about that. So I've spent a lot of time in the last few days cleaning my house. I did a lot of dishes. I did a lot of washing. I did some shit I haven't done for a long time. I enjoyed it, but I'm ready to hand that back to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. No. I'm doing a massive clean because I'm downsizing. I'm moving from a house into an apartment.
Well, I've never actually lived in an apartment. Better lighting.
Yeah, hopefully. So yeah, I was. I chucked out about 3/4 of my wardrobe.
Wow.
Some of it will be just given away and some of it can be sold.
Well, that's
so exciting. The other thing I searched was hire a student to sell my stuff online.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because, did you find someone? Yeah.
I decided against it because I was looking at the pile of clothing that I had to sell. And obviously you need to kind of iron them and, you know, hang them up and get a good picture, write a description, go onto Facebook Marketplace or whatever, figure out the price, manage the communications and the sales. It's a lot of work, actually.
Mm.
But I realized if I do maybe 3 items a month, then I can handle that myself.
How do you eat an elephant? 1 bite at a time.
Yeah, exactly. And then it seems I was into indoor plants for a while. I searched Ripsalis Serrascula health benefits.
Yeah.
as well as the Kenshia indoor plant health benefits. And then I found something called forced bulbs, needed to know what those were.
What?
Also, forced bulbs. It's a planting gardening thing.
Oh, okay, no, that sounds boring. Yeah.
Like onions. Oh, those bulbs are like onions.
Yeah, but yeah, please, yes. let's not dwell on the horse.
No, let's not go there.
Please start the year with that. Otherwise, we really are running out of things to talk about. I want to get to the disturbing ones. You said on your list here, Jacob Zuma latest news. Well, that speaks for itself. Muffy. What the hell's Muffy?
I actually searched Muffy. She is my estate agent.
Yes. What?
I thought it was some like weird sexual practice. And then what is sui generis?
Sui generis is it's a term used mainly in property in the UK, where you have a building that serves multiple purposes. It's got to do with commercial property, the rent to buy, all of that. Very interested in all of that sort of thing.
This is strange. The pride of owning a racehorse, but you don't own a racehorse.
No, exactly. But I found this, you get these syndicates that you can be part of. To me, syndicates always had a bit of a negative connotation.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's not. So you get to become a part owner of a racehorse. It's only
is
about
that something
12...
you want to do?
Well, it might be something interesting to try in the new year.
What?
It's only 12 what? 12,000 Rand?
No, only 12 people own, maximum 12 people own the horse. But what happens is you include it in your share price because you can buy shares of either 2.5% or 7.5%. And included in that is unlimited visits to the actual paddocks that, and the you get to sit with the trainer, watch them train the horse, talk to them. You get to attend all of the events. It's like quite a community building thing. And yeah, it's quite exciting owning a racehorse
right,
and watching
well,
your
listen,
horse.
Dr. Hanan said you got to have some goals. If you end up being like some kind of racing magnet by the end of the year, you've done very well. And then also you've done a lot of Zulu to English translations, which speaks for itself. And then there's private tabs, which you didn't reveal, but I'm sure there's some good stuff on there, right?
So many private tabs, things that I've needed to Google that I didn't want anyone to find out.
Yeah.
What was the one before that?
Zulu to English.
Yeah, I often find that I know a Zulu word, but I don't know how to translate it into English or phrases. Like there's this bumper sticker that I saw once, and no one's ever been able to explain to me what it means. Maybe you can, Bulelo, and it may not be Zulu.
Okay.
But it just says, why you give me Korobela? I can't find a translation.
No. There isn't a translation. You need to know what Ikorobela is, actually. So the important part to focus on at the end.
It used to be a porridge, right?
No. Well, Ikorobela is... So, Leanne, the thing is, with ladies...
Trouble.
When you get married, you need your husband must only have eyes for you. So Korobela is when the lady puts a little something extra spice in there, so that the other names for it are things like Sheva Nafela. So that directly translates to look at me only, or have eyes for me only, if you wanna. So Korobela is it's a little spice or potion you put in your husband's food so he doesn't look at other women. So you're not missing anything there. Yeah. Korobela.
So what is it saying about the taxi driver who has that bumper sticker on his car?
So he might be in, he might have found a woman where he just can't let go of her. Like, why is he so in love with her, you know? Yeah, like he can't explain his feelings for this woman. Well, why this one now? Why is this chick keeping my heart? Well, it's, yeah, so... So yeah, it's very funny actually.
Now you understand why I was battling to find a translation.
Yeah. But I want to know something. Why are you, outside of the fact that obviously the COVID economy, none of us will ever have money again, why are you downsizing? I'm always interested in people changing their lives to that extent.
So, yeah, it is a lot to do with financial stuff. A job that I was kind of promised in October never came to fruition. So that's been played a huge part. However, I found out now in a week's time whether it's on or off. So there has been that. But also, I'm kind of rattling around in here, you know. There are some rooms that I don't even go into or use. And I've always kept a house because of my pets, and I'm now down to three. So, and they're cats, which a lot of apartments will, you know, accept. And then also this new job would entail getting home at about 11 o'clock at night. And I just don't feel safe in a standalone property driving in and out of my gates at that time. And yeah, even just, you know, sleeping at night, I wonder if I'm going to wake up and see someone standing next to my bed. So it is it's a crime issue as well.
And of course, and now you're not bringing home these stray men from like bars.
No,
like in your 20s.
I don't need a pump bed anymore.
No, exactly.
yeah. So and also, it's just spending a lot of money to keep up a house. You know, when the gutters need replacing, when there's a leak, all of this sort of thing. I feel like I've had enough of that in my life, and home ownership, and being a landlord. I'm kind of looking forward to just letting go of that.
You know, it's like different stages of your life too. Sometimes you want to upsize, sometimes you want to downsize. And for many people, it's also just right sizing.
Yes.
I admire this. I admire that move, Leanne. I think that's so, like, you're also clearing out a whole bunch of shit that you don't need to worry about. The security aspect, having all the space you don't need. The responsibility, frankly, you know, even cleaning the house these last couple of days and being responsible for that, it's a lot of work, man. Mm-hmm. And as a woman on your own, Robin points out, like, there's so much maintenance that if you're not a man, you don't want to get on a ladder and be fixing light fittings. And there are obviously lots of ladies who can do that stuff, but it's not something you want to spend your time doing. And the less space you have, the more you can curate that space to your liking. So,
yeah,
you know, slightly smaller apartment with maybe nicer things. The space that you had that one room that you just never paid any attention to, now you don't have to worry about that room. You can make the rooms that you are in more to your liking. And I don't think we haven't mentioned, thank God, I just want to pat us on the back for this morning, the first hour and a half of the show. Haven't brought up COVID or restrictions or curfews being lifted and all that stuff, but our lives have changed, and we're still going to spend a lot more time at home than we did in previous years, even if we do spend more time at the office now as we start to get back to the normal. I think a lot of people have realized over these 2 years how important their home is, and you want to make it the kind of home that you want to be in.
That's it. And Leanne, you never know. You might meet the loved one, because you know the age-old saying is, be very careful. You know, sometimes you meet your fate on the very road you took to avoid it. So maybe you get to the complex and a muscly Uruguayan is the pool guy or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's just too much porn. Yeah.
Day, your prince will come. It's going to be very exciting.
In the form of a muscly Uruguayan pool guy.
Hey, you never know. Bulela might have powers like Nostradamus to predict stuff.
That's it.
I just think there's lots of good reason. You made these decisions over the holidays, obviously, because you hadn't told us about any of this before. I think it's exciting. You've got new stuff to look forward to. And also, we waste a lot of money on shit that we don't need. You know, if you think about your electricity bills and having a pool, if you have a pool, and I mean, that's just never ending maintenance and irritation. And gardens, oh my God, like a garden. Yeah. You must see how out of control my garden is. It is like a forest. And with all this rain we've been having, it looks like the Amazon jungle at the moment. My grass is so high that I lose the dog in the grass sometimes.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then just being responsible for other people on your property as well. Mm. You know, it can be tiring. So I'm ready for a change.
Okay, very good. That's exciting stuff. I like it. So we've got a little episode of Collectomania coming your way today. It'll be slightly different because it's going to be about one of my collections. We've been threatening to do this for a long time. I've got so many collections. I collect a whole lot of crap. I've obviously got some gene in the family because my brother does the same. My sister does the same. My mom, my dad, we all collect stuff. And it's definitely something I need to unpack, if you'll, if you don't mind the pun, in inverted commas, unpack with Dr. Hanan one day, why this compulsive need to collect. But we're going to have Rael Demby, who's, of course, from the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. They're the people who've made Collectomania possible. You're going to have him join us because some of the stuff in this collection of mine pertains to what they do at the Scoin Shop. I'll tell you about that in a little while. So all of that's still coming. This is an interesting business. Tracy says, during lockdown, two of my friends started an organizing and decluttering of houses business. They are booming.
Awesome.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's all.
It's a huge thing. And most of them have started off as small businesses. And you can see now a lot of these besties who got together and started doing this and now making businesses out of it. And they've got TV shows. They're obviously getting money off of that as well. Hmm. It's amazing. It's amazing to see.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm very excited to share my Google results because I started writing some of them down yesterday and I thought, oh, this is going to be boring, but there are one or two that are pretty wild. So come up with that a bit later.
Oh, that's all. So are you like year planning people? Something which I'm always interested in how people think about their lives. Do you go, okay, it's 2022 now. This year I'm going to do, you know, the following. I had a conversation with somebody that was quite interesting about this because we're polar opposites on this. But for you, do you look at a calendar and go 2022, here are my goals for this year? Or do you keep rolling from the previous year? How do you guys think about things?
I heard it hilarious. Go ahead,
Leanne. I usually, you know, it happens every year. And every year I remember back to the previous year. In January, I'll say to myself, this is going to be my year. I'm going to change so many things. Everything's going to go my way. And by February, I've completely forgotten about it all. It's gone. I'm just living life.
You know, I heard this great story from a family friend. We were all together for lunch on Saturday. And he said he got back to the office because it was a family business. He got back to the office and he had one of those A3 kind of pads on his desk that, you know, with the year planner on it. And he was so excited to get stuck into this new year. And before he even got to his desk, his mother had got one of those big black Cokies and she drew a big round circle with two dots and a little mouth and an arrow saying, "This is you. Stop eating." That was the beginning of his year.
Stop eating.
That's awesome.
Stop eating. I mean, that's real love, right?
That's awesome for sure.
But I used to love when, as a school kid, you'd get your new stationery for the year. Ooh. I know this sounds so dumb, and maybe I'm the only one who felt this way.
No, definitely not.
Man, I used to love brand new pencils and, you know, new books, and you know, start things fresh, and it's all going to be very organized. Of course, it doesn't always go that way, and you do start to get a bit rough around the edges as the year continues. But it is nice to start with all that fresh stuff. And yeah, for some of us, that feeling of new things, fresh start, get cracking on all those big projects that you've always envisioned, and the idea that you've got this whole year ahead of you, which means there isn't the pressure that at the end of the year, oh my God, I haven't done this yet. You can't rely on that. Here, you've got to make things happen. I don't plan the whole year, Mbulelo, but I do, like I know in March, I've got to do a trip overseas, which hopefully, you know, will be fairly easy. I've got to do, there are a couple of events through the year that I need to figure out a time and place for. One or two friends getting married. My mom is having a big birthday party this year because it's a big number for her. So there are a couple of things, and I've started to think about like kind of where I want things to go this year and what I want to do and who I need to see. I've told you about my four categories, right? I've got the four categories, the three things I want to buy, the three places I want to go, the three people I want to meet, and the three things I want to do. So I've got to populate those categories this week. And in some way, I suppose that might be a good way to get to Hanan's goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yes. Sean says, I've fucked up already. 2023 is going to be my year. I can feel it.
Yeah. Oh, man. The pressure we put ourselves under is just
right.
Stupid.
Well, you know what? It's necessary. It's necessary. If you don't put pressure on you, if you give yourself an easy ride, especially at the beginning of the year, you're not going to necessarily get anywhere.
Oh, it's tough. Just like Gareth. That's what happens.
Yeah, he's also not getting anywhere.
Yeah, that's but that's going to happen if you live in the slum village of Pretoria. You know, electricity is just going to cut out. I've told him before, just move to the northern suburbs, but here we find ourselves. So, Leanne, are you doing the moving company thing while we wait for Gareth to get back? Are you going to do the moving company thing? Because I know a lot of people get ambitious. Yeah. And also, on your friend's behalf, please, Leanne, please don't be the person who asks people to help you move. Please don't. Sorry. Please do not be that person, because everybody hates that person.
I've already asked.
Oh my God.
And I usually pay bribes in alcohol and food and those types of fun things. But no, Mulelo, I've moved many times, about 8 times in as many years.
Listen.
And I always use a moving company. Get everything done for me.
Yeah. Please. Mulelo, this is such a sore spot because my parents had to go down to Cape Town and I think I was away the morning that they left, or I was away the morning they came back or whatever, but I couldn't give them a lift. And my brother was fuming because he had to give them a lift. And I'm like, why are we still doing this in 2021? You can get an Uber.
Thank you.
I do not fetch and take people from the airport. This is not a skill you need a family member for. This is not something that you require someone whose face you recognize. Get in the fucking Uber. I mean, listen. I love my parents. I love all these other people. There's some girlfriends that I've had before in the past. And you didn't fetch me at the airport. I'm like, I'm not a taxi service. If you want to pay me Uber rates, you're going to have to add another 500% because I hate driving to the airport. Otherwise,
absolutely.
Book the Uber and I'll see you when you get here. There's no need for me to pick you up at the airport. This is not the 1980s where you want to watch the plane taking off or watch it coming into land because you don't see a lot of planes.
Yeah, when we used to get dressed up to go to the airport and watch the
plane. Please, I've been going to and from the airport. If I had to count the number of times, I could wallpaper this room with the ticket stubs from the number of local flights I've been on.
Yeah.
Unless it's you're coming back from 5 years in the jungles, or, you know, you climbed Mount Everest and we're all there to welcome you back because you've summited the highest point in the world. That's fine. But I'm not going to go to the airport to fetch you when you've been away for 4 days in Cape Town. Sorry, not something. I got into this argument with my brother about it because he felt, oh, why is he taking and fetching him? I'm like, well, why do you do this? You don't have to do this.
Anyway, biggest waste of time ever.
Don't ask me for lifts to the airport. Don't ask me to borrow my car to move shit when you move house. There are professionals who do this. You know, if you have a bucky, by the way, which I don't, but some members of the family do, you're going to be used for all of that stuff. And you should just, like Dr. Hanan says, say no. Just, you know, boundaries.
But it's the same person. You're so right. It's the same person. The person who asks you to help them move is the same person who expects to be picked up from the airport. They're just terrible, selfish people. Terrible.
Let me tell you. I don't mind with the Gautrain. I don't mind taking you. I said to my parents, I was like, I don't mind taking or fetching you from the Gautrain. That's not so far away. It'll take, 10 minutes of my time. And that's easy. I see you come out of the building. You got your suitcase with the wheels on it. We load it into the car. Done. And then I'm a good son. I'm the kind of son I'm so proud of him that he's such a thoughtful guy. He's going to come and collect us from the airport. Because it's 10 minutes of my time. But if it's the whole schlep to the airport, then you have to try and find parking. Mm-hmm. This is pointless. There are Ubers aplenty. Just get on your phone and do it. And I showed them how to do it. I said, this is not hard. Oh, but we don't know who it is. Like, you don't need to be on a first name basis with your Uber driver. And if you are, the name is on there. You're not going to see him again.
It's unreal. And also, if you don't want to talk to him. No, go ahead, Leah.
I was going to say, we often get takeaways once a week, and my dad insists on getting into the car and collecting the takeaways.
Oh, no.
Even if it's from a restaurant that's, you know, you can get through Uber Eats or
whatever. Why? Why this having to go there?
Dad, the fee is R7. Yeah. You know? Come on.
I know that it used to be a huge schlep to organize these things because we didn't have smartphones. I know it used to be massively inconvenient. You had to talk the order into the phone, then they would get, then you'd go and collect it 15 minutes later, and sometimes it would be ready and sometimes it wouldn't. Those problems have gone. Technology has solved them for us. This is 2022. How lucky we are to live in a time where, you know what, you feel like a hamburger, get on the phone. You feel like a lift, you need to go somewhere, get on the phone. There's no need to inconvenience other people.
And on Uber Black, you can set that you don't want to talk to the driver, by the way. I don't know if you know this. So if your parents don't want to talk to the guy, I'm sorry, it's not an excuse anymore. You can, there is a choice on Uber Black, no conversation, and you can set the temperature. Pay some temperature.
Pay some extra cash, get the good temperature, get the, you know, this is not rocket science. Can we just please not have this conversation again? It is such a 2012 conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, very good. Dogoza says Uber Black is not available in KZN. Yeah, listen, there's some things about that province that are very backward, but we're going to start by attacking KZN on the first show of the year. Some people reminding me, please subscribe, like, comment, and share on the channel. Thank you, Sanele. We need that. Otherwise, I'm going to have to keep reminding people. So we're going to get into my collection in a moment or two. We're waiting for Rael Demby from the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Coin Shop. But maybe I'll just start anyway. So
Is it your collection today?
My collection today, yeah.
Ooh.
So you two get to ask me all about this, but I'll show you a couple of pictures. I'll take you on a little guided tour, all the rest of it. So I've got a laboratory in my house. Now, it's nothing fancy. I'm not doing huge quantities of anything. Everybody, when you say to them you have a laboratory, they're like, well, you're Breaking Bad. You're making crystal meth. I wish I was. I wish I was, because then I could be making a good piece of side action money, right? I mean, there's a lot of money in that. But I don't know how to do organic chemistry.
Yeah, it's a little complicated.
I don't make drugs, because first of all, I wouldn't trust my own drugs, so I wouldn't take them. And if I sell them to someone else and something terrible happens to them, then it's a problem for me, which I don't need. So I have a laboratory, but it's purely out of curiosity. I keep a whole bunch of the elements on the periodic table. I do basic ionic reactions, compounds. I do acid and base reductions, oxidations. I'm not going to get into too much of the science of it, because for many people it's boring. The point is, I have this curiosity about the world and the universe, and I want to know what everything's made of, right? I want to know how it's constructed. I want to know what, because there are basically 118 constituent elements of everything on Earth. This is God's recipe book. This is the stuff that everything that you can see, and even the things that you can't see, that you could touch, that you could smell, that you could taste, that you could feel, all of that stuff that exists, that is the entirety of our experience in this universe, is made of these elements. And the periodic table looks like this. You've probably seen pictures of it in school. On the wall of every classroom in the world is a periodic table, right? And it's a pretty obvious thing. So that's what my little collection, here's what the picture on the wall of every, you know, every school lab looks like. And those are the elements. You can point to any one of them. I can tell you what they are. I can tell you what they do. I can talk about them for hours. So we're going to have to keep this fairly focused. I'll give you some examples of some of these, but I wanted to collect a sample of every element. I found out I'm not the only one, by the way. There are lots of people in the world, including Bill Gates, who has a periodic table in his house. There are lots of people who are fascinated with this stuff. It's not just me. So,
is there a difference with the ones with the black lids?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a second. Okay, so this is my little periodic table. Each of those bottles contains a sample of one of the elements. And it's arranged in the shape of the actual periodic table. The ones with the black lids are radioactive. So, again, very, very small quantities, if any. A lot of those I don't have because they're impossible to get. For example, that bottom row there that you see, and I've only gone up to the first six in that row, that's called the actinides. Very, very hard to make even an atom or two of those. So the first couple, those first six, are fairly available. Some of them get used in applications like smoke detectors, for example. There's usually a little button of something called americium in a smoke detector. A lot of the old-fashioned watch faces that used to glow, remember those?
Yes.
Those have some radium in them, but it would be a radium salt. So you can find little bits of them here and there. But most of the radioactive elements I don't want to keep because they'll put you on an international watch list and you won't be able to travel if you suddenly start Googling plutonium. So you got to be careful about that. You know,
and hence we bring up the Google search history and private.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm not collecting any of the stuff that is going to get me followed by the CIA or the FBI. And some of these elements are very, very dangerous. I'll get to those in a second.
Are there any two of that bunch that you've got there that if you unscrewed the lids and just put them together, something would happen?
There are lots. Lots. Oh. You get some very reactive elements and you get some fairly inert ones, but pretty much all of them, with the exception of helium, will react with something under some conditions. And they've even managed to make recently helium react with things at very, very high or very, very low temperatures. So the whole reason that the periodic table is interesting to me is because the chemical reactions that come from it create everything. Energy, life, all the various compounds that we have in our daily existence, they've made pretty much everything you have in your house is some sort of combination of those 118 things. Your own body is also made of a combination of most of those. Of course, your body's mostly carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Those are the major parts of what you're made of, as are most organic molecules. So most living things are made of carbon. Carbon, by the way, is on this table. If I show you this again, you'll see carbon is in the top there. That's C. On the top right goes BCNOFNE. That C is for carbon. Carbon is amazing because it combines with itself and many other elements in such interesting ways that it is allowed life to exist. It's the basis of all living molecules. So that's why carbon's interesting. It also comes in two forms. There are a couple of others, but mostly two forms. Diamonds are pure carbon. So that's very expensive. Mm-hmm. And graphite, which is the lead in your pencil. So, you know, if you take a pencil out of the drawer. Yeah. But if you take a pencil out of the drawer, that pencil, the stuff that actually makes the mark is graphite, which is a form of carbon. So everybody has a little bit of that in their houses as well. Some of these, by the way, exist all around you. Obviously, the next two, nitrogen and oxygen, are in the air. And you breathe those in and you breathe them out every day. And they are essential for respiration. And then you get a combination of carbon and oxygen, carbon dioxide, which you breathe out, which is also part of most living things. Of course, plants love carbon dioxide. They use it. We exhale it. So we don't have much use for carbon dioxide, but plants use it to build the molecules and the sugars and to help them to generate energy to live and so on. All right. So what do you want to know here? Let me go through some of these things. This is the whole collection. There's some of these samples are very, very hard to find. Some of them are very expensive. Some of them I still don't have, and it drives me crazy because I like to complete the whole series. But here for Collectomania, this is gold. Gold is something that the South African Gold Coin Exchange and Rail and the guys there know all about. It's obviously an element. The reason it's special is because gold is found in its natural state. It that's how it looks. It looks the same on your ring as it does in real life. I see Rail's joining us now. The nice thing about gold is that you can instantly recognize it. It's the only metal that has that color. Hey, Rail, how's it, man?
Hey, what's up? Sorry for the delays.
No stress. We also had some technical issues this morning. We're just going through my element collection, and I started off with gold because I knew you were going to join us. So gold is one of the elements on the periodic table. I've got a little sample of it there, but I've also got, you know, little bits of gold. I've got some gold rings. I've got some gold foil, which you would use, very, very thin gold leaf, which you can use for all kinds of crafts and decorations and things. And most people have gold in their technology around them. So you might have gold in your phone. You might have it in some electrical components of your computer. It's a great conductor, and it's found in the state. So they've mined gold, and it's been a source of value and a repository of value for humans for thousands of years. And it is a chemical element. So Rael, you'll be interested in some of these chemical elements, because some of them are probably metals that you've heard of at the South African Gold Coin Exchange. I'll just show you the most expensive element in my collection. And these are two little grains. Look at these things. They are. You can see a little hair there. It looks like an eyelash or something. But basically, those two little pieces of very shiny silvery metal.
We're not seeing them yet for some reason.
Can you see them? Let me just try and reload it then. Hang on. Can you see them now?
There we go.
Okay, those little pieces of metal, which are tiny, I mean, you could probably, if I held a pencil next to them, the lead in the pencil would be thicker than either of those pieces. That's called rhodium. Rhodium metal, at the moment, I think is trading at some $16,000 a gram or something. So it's very expensive. It's a byproduct of platinum mining. And it's used in very specific applications. They use rhodium in, ironically, in costume jewelry, because you just need a layer that's like one atom thick, basically. And it's very reflective. And for that reason, they also use rhodium in dental mirrors. You know those little mirrors that the dentist sticks in your mouth? Because it reflects so perfectly that it's got very specific uses. They use it in catalytic converters too. But recently, because of the price of it, and because it's a byproduct of platinum mining, it's also become a repository of some value. So I saw Rael was busy shaking his head. Yes, you know what rhodium is. I mean, you guys obviously deal with a lot of these rare metals. And there's a group called the platinum group metals, platinum, palladium, gold, osmium, iridium. This is one of those metals. Very rare, very difficult to find. Have you ever asked anyone to make a rhodium coin for you?
So you sound very, very knowledgeable on the whole idea of the metals themselves. And over time, I think the mints from around the world have chosen the best metals to be used as coins. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of some of these cannot be minted properly. It would maybe be a bit too soft. It could bend, it could melt. Base metals are used in coins that we all use in our pockets. They have like a longevity. And we've come across platinum and palladium coins before. We've sold them before. Yeah. This idea of other metals like rhodium, I don't actually know if there is ever been a rhodium coin, maybe because it's expensive or because of the type of metal. So gold became maybe it was the most popular coin to use. It just sort of developed into the most famous and easily malleable type of metal. Yep. I would say I'm not a metal expert. I think there's some incredible people and science guys and people who know this stuff a lot better than I. You know, the silver is also really strong, and it became part of the world of coins as well. Sometimes people come into our stores and they have a little Kruger Rand, and it's been encased in a gold necklace or chain, and it's quite popular as gifts that were given out to people. The problem with that is it sort of compromises the integrity of the coin itself, because you can clip the edges and damage the coin. But you can also find safer ways to encapsulate those coins. And so just full disclosure, I'm got into the coin game, and the whole like metals game is very different. But we've dabbled in the platinum and palladium. We have this really cool coin that was launched by the the Nobel Institute, and the it was a Mandela medallion from the Mint of Norway, and it's platinum and palladium, and they look absolutely identical. And the only way to tell is you need this like stronger than a dentist mirror, not mirror, but the microscope.
Microscope.
And there's just a PT for platinum or a PD for palladium, and the T and the D is so similar, it's really difficult to tell. So sometimes people actually don't know if they have a platinum or palladium, and the only way to find these things out is to melt them back to its original source. So what's called an assay. If That's you see right. on some gold, it will say assay, and they'll give you a result. But the only way to tell is to melt it.
Tell you what, like, this is interesting because I have obviously some of these, it's hard to find them, and some of them it's easy. So these two little pieces of rhodium that I showed you just now cost more than all the other elements on that collection put together.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. So Leanne, you asked about the ones with the black lids. Here's some depleted uranium. So this is uranium. Obviously it's, that would have come from some old reactor, or it would have been spent fuel. And it's remarkably easy to get this stuff. I don't know what most people would want to do with uranium. Of course, uranium gives off alpha particles when it is radioactive. Those can be stopped with glass. So you can see it's in a little tube inside the bottle. A lot of these elements are sealed.
I'm not seeing the picture again for some reason.
A lot of these elements are sealed within a glass tube because some of them are very reactive. Some of them you don't want to spill anywhere, and it kind of keeps the collection tidy. Here's a good example of why you want to keep something in its bottle. Can you see this is called tellurium?
Yeah.
Can you see that one? So yes. tellurium is a metalloid. So it's partly a metal, partly a non-metal. It's in the oxygen group. Why you seal that up in a glass tube is because if you get it on your hands, it'll smell like rotten garlic. And you will not be able to get rid of that smell. Your breath, your sweat, you will stink like a homeless person who's been under a bridge for 7 years and hasn't wiped their backsides once. So it's really awful stuff if you get it on your on your skin. So that's tellurium. You don't want that on you. Here's one that's
fun trick to try to play on someone.
No, hell no. I wouldn't want to, because apparently it's very, very difficult. It'll stay there for like weeks. You won't be able to get rid of the smell. Here's an interesting one that Rael might know. This is osmium, which apart from gold and one other element called cesium, who are metals, osmium has this blue color to it. Most metals are silvery white, right? And only gold is the obvious exception, and copper is the other exception. But here's osmium, which has this blue color to it. You can see I haven't put any artificial light on in the background. I just tried to light it well. And if you compare the color of osmium, which is the densest metal of all, by the way, those little balls of osmium, small as they may be, weigh as much as, you know, a kilogram, or not a kilogram, but a huge space, a huge density, a huge quantity of something like magnesium. It's very, very dense. And they use osmium in those old pens, like calligraphy pens, those fountain pens that they used to make, because it's very, very hard and it's very, very dense and it lasts a long time.
Yeah. I mean, the other one would be iridium, right? So slightly, you'd also get like,
Iridium is very, very hard to find. And iridium is rare because they found more of it in asteroids than they have in Earth. And one of the ways they can date the time the dinosaurs died is there's a layer of iridium in that layer of rock that could only have come from outer space, because it's not as easy to find. It's not as abundant in the rest of the Earth's crust. So it's one of the reasons we know that the dinosaurs were wiped out by a meteor. This is what's amazing about chemistry, is you learn a bit about geology, a bit about metallurgy. You learn a little bit about coins. You learn a little bit about all these things. There are a couple of that are really dangerous though. So I'm just going to show you one or two of those quickly. Here are two liquid metals, the only two liquid at room temperature, not just metals, sorry, elements. The one is called mercury, which you're familiar with from those old thermometers. It's also the only liquid metal at room temperature. So it's very, very curious, also very dangerous. The term mad as a hatter comes from the use of mercury and mercury salts in flattening out hats. So the milliners, a milliner is a hat maker, used to use mercury salts to make the shapes of hats to fit on people's heads, and they would breathe them in and they'd go crazy because mercury is poisonous and eventually it settles in your brain and you go completely insane. So mad as a hatter comes from mercury, and bromine next to it is also a horrible substance. Bromine is one of the halogens, which are the most reactive nonmetals. And you can see it's this brown, red colored. It's very viscous. It's sort of half between gas and liquid most of the time. You can use bromine as a disinfectant, but it's the younger brother of chlorine, which is obviously dangerous for a number of reasons as well, and has been used as a biological weapon, you know, a chemical weapon. Bromine's most scary relative is this one, fluorine. Fluorine is so impossibly difficult to keep. I don't know if you can see this properly, but that tiny sample of fluorine, which is maybe at this point, there are probably only a few atoms of it left in this sample. So fluorine is impossible to isolate. It reacts with everything. So it's inside a quartz capsule, inside a glass tube, inside that bottle. So there are three layers of protection around this fluorine, and it's probably still reacted with the quartz. It reacts with everything: wood, asbestos, metals, water, air. It'll react with anything. So it's one of the hardest things to keep in a chemical collection, fluorine. And trust me, I've tried. It's very hard to get these samples. It's also extremely dangerous. It has properties. Its compounds have properties that will kill you. So you've got to be really careful how you keep fluorine. But that's one of the most interesting ones on the periodic table. And then I've got this, which I think Rael will be interested in too. Now, that looks like gold, but it's actually the most reactive metal on the periodic table. It's called cesium. And cesium will, that tube is sealed. It's ampouled, which is what they call it when they seal a glass tube with something in it, under argon, which is a non-reactive gas. Argon is also an element, but you see the sample of argon, it looks like an empty tube, right? Now, the reason that they do this with cesium is because it also reacts with everything. So you asked earlier, Leanne, if I had to open up two of these bottles and let the two react. If you put cesium and fluorine in an environment together, you have the perfect combination for an enormous explosion, because cesium, the element, is trying to get rid of one atom, one electron in its outer ring of electrons. Fluorine just needs one, so it's like the perfect marriage. And these two get together, and there's lots of fire and heat and pressure and temperature and ugliness and explosion. But cesium is amazing because in that little ampule, and if I hold it in my hand, it actually melts. It melts just above room temperature and just below body temperature. So it'll actually run like liquid gold in that little ampule. It's beautiful to watch, but God help you if that glass breaks, because you will have a chemical burn that you won't forget.
So cesium's a really interesting thing, right? It's one of the three metals at room temperature that go liquid. And if you actually, so in class we used to, you could observe it and almost tip and let it like run in like a half little kind of beaker kind of thing. I don't know how to describe it. And you watch it run. It's like an artwork, the way it turns.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
And then it recrystallizes once it gets cooler, and it makes these beautiful golden crystals. Again, I said, and you're right, Bulela, there are three metals that are liquid at room temperature.
Yeah.
So those would be cesium,
gallium,
mercury, which you saw just now, and gallium.
Yeah.
Gallium, they used to make those joke teaspoons out of, where you'd stir your tea and the teaspoon would melt into the tea. And it's not poisonous. So gallium, unlike mercury, is used in a lot of thermometers these days too.
Mm.
But these are the fascinating properties of all of these things. And when you actually have them in your hand and you can look at them, and you can play with them, and you can do experiments with them. That's why I collect the stuff. And people always ask, well, what are you going to make? I'm not trying to cure cancer here. You know, I'm just trying to learn about the world. And I find this stuff fascinating. And that's also why, I mean, it's really cool to have stuff that you guys at the SA Gold Coin Exchange make, like the platinum coins and the gold coins and the palladium coins, because those are elements. They're part of the building blocks of nature. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. And Gareth, like, you are so, like, you spend time on it, you learn about it, and it's really just like every other collection. People, we've seen people in the last year, they were just so passionate about what they're doing. It doesn't matter about the value. It's really about the passion inside of it. So we see it all the time. It could be matchboxes or spiders or something like that we know probably can't have value, but people are just so interested in it. And I wanted to point out here, there's you can Google it, mini museums. It's these tiny little acrylic boxes you get, and they will give you like a tiny piece of dinosaur bone and a piece of Steve Jobs's shirt and all of these crazy collect. You can Google it and check it out. It's an amazing product. And you know, you can learn about something that's tiny, but you got it in your home or you keep it safe, and it just sort of fuels this passion. It's something you do and you read about. And sometimes you go through phases when you're not interested in your collection.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just busy, and then one day you read an article, you get hooked again, and you start searching for the next thing to buy in your chemistry collection.
Well, you know what? I mean, you just hit on two things that are so true. You do fall in and out of love with your collections. You kind of forget about it for a while. And then when I was getting ready for this morning's show, I suddenly realized, like, I love this stuff. I want to go back into it now and try and find some of the ones that I still haven't found. And believe me, like, there are a lot that are, they're not the kind of things you want to keep in your house. I mean, some of these, I've got very small samples of them, because anything more than a couple of grams would just be, you know, it's like having a very, you can imagine, you don't want to keep something deadly dangerous in your house. You wouldn't want to keep a huge amount of hydrogen, for example, in your house. If you did and it exploded, you'd have a pretty big problem on your hands.
So yeah, some of this stuff. I mean, if an elephant had to sit down on all those little bottles at once, it would probably find itself on the moon quite easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And look, they are small samples, so I don't think you'd have any major problems here. But it's nice to know that in some small sample in this collection, I have a representation of every one of those elements on that table. And it makes me happy to go look at them sometimes. I'm like, oh, I wonder what hafnium looks like. Here's hafnium. Or a little piece of tungsten. Or, you know, something like zinc. And zinc melts at a fairly low temperature. So you just heat zinc up and you can cast little things with it. Lead, which we all know about lead, you know, that was part of the reason the Roman Empire fell, because lead poisoning, their pipes, plumbing, comes from plumbum. PB is the symbol for lead. All of these things are interesting. So there's a bit of history in there. There's a bit of geology. There's a bit of metallurgy. There's a bit of chemistry. There's even a bit of physics and more complicated science involved in all of this stuff. And it's just a world of exploration that you'd never get tired of. And I'm just thrilled to collect these things. I mean, it's amazing that some of it's very hard to transport. Some people just will not send it by post. You mentioned gallium metal earlier, Bulelo. You can get gallium in very small samples, but they won't send it by plane.
No, because with good reason.
Because if gallium and aluminium, which most planes are made of aluminium, come into contact with each other, the gallium actually starts to disintegrate the aluminium. And they won't even allow it on planes, because if a little bit of it escapes from a bottle or something, you end up with a hole in the fuselage, and that's not so much fun.
No.
One last question for me. If you had to name your child after one of the elements, what would it be?
None of them really have pretty names for people. I mean, you know, some people call their children diamond or gold or whatever, because those are valuable things.
Mercury, but I've heard.
Mercury's probably been used a couple of times, but you wouldn't call your child cesium or fluorine. I think the nicest name, the most beautiful name for an element is probably tellurium. And it's just a lovely sounding word. I'm not even sure. I once learned what it means. I'll have to look it up for you now, but I think that's a pretty word. You know, some of the more rhodium comes from roads. So it would have come from Rhodos, but it actually also has something to do with the red color of a flame when you burn it. So just looking at the ones we've spoken about, and remember there are 118, I couldn't go through all of them. Those those are probably quite nice names, but I wouldn't necessarily go and look for inspiration from the periodic table. You're going to name your kid.
Yeah, because there's also a certain type of person who's called Mercury, right? Like, it almost shapes them in a direction. Yeah.
And remember what mercurial, if you say someone is mercurial, it means that they are quick to change. Yeah. They're not very dependable. They're not very reliable.
Britney Spears. Britney Spears is mercurial. Right.
Very mercurial. There we go. So I'm sorry, guys. That's all we got time for on this collection. I could talk about this for 3 days with you and I wouldn't get bored, but I don't want to be super turbo nerdy. And I did want to share one of my collections to start the year. We're going to have lots of other people with fascinating collections through the course of the year. And Rael, it's always good to have you on. It's great to hear what you guys do. And don't forget to go. Now, they've just moved. You guys have just moved your offices, right?
Yeah, we just moved. We were in just around the corner in Sandton City's main building. We were there for 27 years. My father started out there. And we've moved around the corner to the Mark, the big golden pineapple. If you looking out for a golden pineapple, we're there. It's a brand new start with amazing ideas and innovations coming this year. And we're proud to be part of this ideology of collecting. It's an important part of who we all are. So I'm looking forward to a lekker year with you guys. Thank you.
Awesome, Rael. And I just got to say here, Dory, my producer, said that I should really be cheesy this morning and say, today I'm in my element. But that's from Dory. I didn't say it, all right?
I quite like it.
check out the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can find out more from them online at scoinshop.com, and we'll have some more collections coming at you in the next while. That's all we got time for this morning. But I did want to put in an extra few minutes because we started like few minutes late this morning with some technical issues. So here we go. Just after 8 o'clock. Thanks for being part of it. We will see you tomorrow at 6, bright and early. Have a great day. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.